Yep.
What's been happening at Bailey House? When news and interviews don't go anywhere else. We're not a rabble, we don't gabble. We're number one for fun. We're the Bailey Babble. Bailey Babble.
Come on now!
Bailey Babble. Bailey Babble. Woo!
Beautiful.
And that's right, folks. You are listening to the Bailey Babble. I'm Matt, your host with the most hair missing. And joining me in the studio today is the delightful Ange Little Dyke for the first time in a long time. How are you, Ange?
Good.
Are you a bit excited today?
Yes.
I'm excited because I've got the old crew back, but we've also got a special guest. We'll get to him shortly. Thanks for joining me, co-host Gavin Moore. How are you, brother?
I'm good. Damn good.
Damn good. What's better than good? Damn good. Cassis Watson, how are you going, madam? And welcome to the microphone.
Thank you, Matt. I'm fine.
Where are you on the good on the scale of good? Are you just good, or are you damn good?
I'm bloody excellent.
Bloody excellent.
Brilliant. I like the enthusiasm in the room.
Sounded like a mum said that.
Well, that's special. David Long, welcome to the microphone too. How are you, mate?
Thank you for having me back on the Bailey Babble, Matt.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yes.
I'm excited that you're part of the team once more. Hey, without further delay, David, I think we need to get to our special guest. Perhaps you might like to introduce our special guest. Who have we got joining us today?
Well, now, since we have the retired farewell of the CEO here, and of course now it is Warwick.
Warwick Cavano, ladies and gentlemen, go a bit nuts for Warwick! Woo! Warwick, welcome back to the Babble.
Roar of the grease paint. Hello, 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 and I'm feeling bloody excellent too.
Can we say bloody on Bailey Babble, Warwick?
Well, we have done, so what's the point? Now, Cassis started it, so look, I'm just echoing Cassis.
It's too bloody late now.
That's right, exactly. Look, I don't say anything like that at all.
Warwick, how are you feeling this week? You've got days to go. As David Long announced, it's your final week here, not just from Bailey Babble, you're retiring.
That's right. Professor Long did mention this. Look, it's a funny feeling, I have to confess. I'll be very sorry to leave Bailey House and miss all of the people here. But, look, I did just have a birthday last week and... Look, we can't be too twee about these things. I did turn 68. 68 years old, and I think...
Oh, wow!
68.
Oh, my God.
So, I thought a while ago, I think that's time enough. Time to stop working and time to let a few other people do the stuff.
Yeah. So when's your last day officially? The date today, Warwick, is Monday the 16th. When's October your last day is?
My last day is Wednesday the 18th. 2 days' time.
Wow.
Yeah. So Deb, the new CEO, started today, and she's coming over here shortly. We just had a lovely morning tea at Middle Crescent with everybody, so people said goodbye to me, which was lovely, and welcome to Deb, which was really good. So I've got 3 days with Deb, telling her all about Bailey House and amazing people there and all the secrets. Well, all the secrets I know, but there are a lot more secrets that I don't know, but I'll just tell her everything I know so she can... be a fabulous CEO. That should be bloody excellent as well.
Gavi doesn't need to tell the new CEO Deb too much about me and you, does he?
Hey.
No.
Hey, Gav, do you want to get the ball rolling, mate? Because Warwick's got a busy day.
Warwick, how do you feel like being retired?
How do I feel about being retired? How was time? Look, I just.
Well, it's time to exit.
I think. What I just said about my birthday, I'm 68. Look, I just think in some respects I could keep on working and working and working because I love it and I do love being here. But I am 68 and it's time, I think, you know, my wife and I would like to do a bit of travel and I've got a little granddaughter who we look after 3 days a week. So time to stop and do some other things.
Warwick, what was your first ever job?
My first ever job was I worked in the Commonwealth Rehabilitation Service. This is back in 19...
Hang on, this is your first ever job. Did you have a job as a teenager?
I was a teenager.
Your first ever job. How old were you and what was your first ever paid job?
My first ever paid job. I worked in, well, we don't have many more, but in the old days they had drive-in bottle shops. I used to work in the bottle shop running out to the cars. They used to have cars queue up to buy their alcohol and used to have little devils like me running from the till to the car and back again. It was very busy. One night I was packing away and I had a great big crate thing on wheels covered in casks. Matt, you might remember casks of sherry and brandy, those sorts of things back in the day. And it slipped off the edge of the drive and it fell back on top of me. Oh. And I was stuck under a crate of spirits.
Like a pallet load.
Well, it was pretty much that. It all broke. Yes, I don't think my boss was very pleased.
Didn't come out of your pocket?
Would have taken 10 years to pay for it, I think. Yeah, but I was stuck under the thing. I had a leg stuck up in the air and I think they were more concerned about their work cover.
It smelled like whiskey for a week.
The smell was intoxicating.
How many other jobs do you think you've had over your career?
Oh, look, not all that many because I haven't been someone who jumped around a lot. So probably about six, I suppose. It was Coonack Rehab Centre, Glen Waverley Rehab Centre, Melbourne Sexual Health Centre. Then there was Moira, Brotherhood St Lawrence, Bailey House, and a few little bits in between. So, yeah, seven or eight.
Because, see, Warwick's going to retire, so that means he won't be getting any more, you know, when you work, you get, you get paid.
Yeah, when you work, you get wages.
So Warwick won't be getting any more...
wages.
Yeah, so Warwick, how do you know if you've got enough money to retire?
Well, that's a really good question. Thanks, Cassis, and I'm not sure. And I hope I have...
Is that right? You're actually not sure?
No. I'm not very good with that.
Who guides you in this regard?
Well, I probably should have spoken to someone sensible a long time ago, but it's too late now. So I do have some superannuation. And, I hope that's enough.
All right. Well, good luck.
We'll find out, won't we?
All right. We might see Warwick back on the floor
before them. Yeah, I'll be passing around the begging bowl.
I'm going to miss you, Warwick.
Beg your pardon?
I'm going to miss you, Warwick, when you go.
I will miss you, Cassis.
That sentiment will be shared by many of us. And you're up, madam, with your first question.
What do you miss at Bailey House?
What
will you miss?
What will I miss about Bailey House? Well, many, many things I will miss about Bailey House, but mostly the people. I know it's no surprise to say it, but I'll miss all of the lovely clients. It's been lovely having 5 years with all of you. It's been really wonderful. And we've got to say it because Matt's right here, but the lovely staff as well, of course. Many, many wonderful staff. And the families. You know, I've spent some really lovely time with all of your families. And that's been a real treat. But, yeah, all of the clients I miss a lot.
What do you think you'll miss about working in general?
I think there's a lot of reward, aside from the wages that Cassis mentioned. There's a lot of reward in working. There's a lot of reward in working with people and trying to achieve things and getting things done and getting things changed. And we look around here at Bailey Arts. So there's a lot of satisfaction in those things happening. And I think I'll miss that. And I know it sounds silly, but I think I'll miss the routine. You know, every day you get up and you go to work and you know you've got sort of a whole lot of stuff that you've got to achieve. And I think that'll be a strange thing not to have that routine.
Structure.
That's right, Matt.
Yeah.
And I think most of us like a bit of structure in our lives.
Yeah, we probably don't realise how important it is. What won't you miss about working?
What won't I miss? Look, there's not a lot, but there would be a few things sometimes, particularly with some of the NDIS requirements, a lot of paperwork, a lot of administration, a lot of things that I think work very well necessarily, and I don't think I'll miss dealing with that.
Eddie tells me you're always in meetings. Will you miss the meetings, Warren?
Eddie's always thinks I'm in meetings. I'm usually ordering cricket pads, or new cricket bats, or a scoring pad, or something. A lot of meetings about that, but No, look, generally speaking, I don't mind meetings because, you know, it's important to get things done. It's important to hear what other people have to say. I think it's always good to get that input. So I don't mind meetings. I won't miss that. That's all right. I will miss that.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, that's, yeah, that's good to know you've had that attitude, actually. Gav, we're back to you.
Yeah. Hang on. Because I haven't read this question. What do you think of Warwick?
Well, hang on, you've got that bloke there. Your picture there, the image of the chap, and he's got the thought cloud, thinking about memory. So our question for Warwick was,
Memory about Bailey House.
Yeah, some of your fondest memories, perhaps, Warren.
Fondest memories about Bailey House? Well, look, when I first started at Bailey House, I remember we had a lovely... There's a wonderful gathering in the hall with all of the clients, and we had some songs, and we had an opportunity to chat and meet each other. And I still remember that was really, really wonderful. And I do remember... it must have been a Friday morning, I think... either my first week at Bailey House or maybe the second, I was in my office and I heard all of this singing coming from the hall, and I thought, what is going on? So I went round to the hall and there was Kylie, and Kylie was leading community singing, and it was just amazing. Everybody was having such a great time, and I joined in, although my singing is not something to be admired, so that wasn't so great, but it was that was really lovely. And look, the other thing I'd say... And I know it'll sound like a strange thing to say, because I certainly don't miss COVID itself. COVID was a horrible thing. But one of my fondest memories of Bailey House is how, as an organisation, as a big family, we coped with COVID. Yeah. And I think we all learned a lot about ourselves in that really difficult time. And I think, as a CEO... it was an amazing thing to just see how all of our clients coped so well and did so well. And as a staff team, we learned a lot from clients who were very resilient, very determined, very accepting of a lot of really difficult changes. So in a strange way, it's a very fond memory that we actually managed to deal with a really, really awful situation really well.
That's probably when your responsibility was at its greatest, I guess.
Well, that's true, man.
People's health at stake.
Yeah, and I've often said to some of my team, you know, it's easy to lead when things are going well. The real test of leadership is when things are not going well. And COVID was a classic example of things not going well. And so it was a really challenging time. But we'd learned a lot.
Yeah, we got through it.
Bailey House quite well, Warwick.
What would you say? Is it? Sorry, David.
And I'll do my best to get all of us back to COVID no more as possible.
Spot on. And I think we're managing pretty well at the present. Someone who manages very well is Cassis Watson. You got a question there for Warwick, Cass?
What has work in the Bailey House taught you?
What has working at Bailey House taught me? Never make assumptions about what people can achieve. Because if you look around you, even here at Bailey Arts, some of the work we see around us is truly inspirational. And perhaps that's all the more so because I can't draw stick figures. I mean, and I mean it. I don't have a creative bone in my body. I can't draw at all. And so when I look around here and also around at Middle Crescent before we had Bailey Arts, I think that creativity is just incredible. So for me, one of those things is you just don't know what people are capable of, what they can do, what they can achieve until you meet them, listen to them, learn from them. So that's what I would take away.
And even just talking about COVID and the lockdowns, that was a good example of that, wasn't it? People's resilience.
Absolutely. People coped so much better than we thought people would. People's ability, yes, I think sometimes we underestimate.
Okay, well, here's a sticky question for you,
Yeah, tricky question.
What is a part of the job that most people don't see?
A part of the CEO job that people don't see? Well, sometimes there are differences of opinion that people aren't necessarily familiar with. So we might have a family who just doesn't like the way we've done something, or it might be a client. Sometimes we have staff who disagree with the way that we've said something or done something or a decision we've made. And those are conversations which happen quietly. You know, my door is usually open, but sometimes we shut the door to have a very confidential and sometimes a tricky question.
Yeah.
I'd say we have a tricky conversation, and sometimes they are tricky conversations, and sometimes, you know, we go our separate ways. People choose to go somewhere else. Those are hard. They're often quite difficult conversations, difficult times when there's a difference of opinion that can't be resolved to everybody's satisfaction, and you just have to part company. So that would be one of those things.
The country had a difficult conversation on the weekend.
Oh, Matt, it did. It did have a very difficult conversation. And I guess in some respects, I think it's a really good example, Matt, because to me, that one of the big problems with the referendum was that we didn't really have a conversation. As a country, I think we had a shouting match. We had a lot of very disrespectful commentary from, I think, some really ill-informed people. And we ended up with a result which, personally, I'm very deflated about. There you go.
Yes, I found it a bit hard to be buoyant yesterday, I must confess. Cassis, your second question. This could be another tricky question for Warwick.
Well, interesting, just while Cassis is...
Sorry, yes?
Just back on the referendum. Interesting to note that although all of the states in the end voted no... that in fact in this particular electorate where Bailey House is situated, the electorate voted yes, and quite significantly. Sorry, yes, voted yes. So that's at least some comfort. Didn't make us change, but I think sometimes you think, did you just get it completely wrong? Well, the people around us voted significantly for change.
And in the neighbouring electorate as well, yes, of McNamara. Right. Cassis.
Warwick. What do you think your legacy will be at Bailey House?
What do you have any idea what you think Warwick's legacy might be? I know we talked about this word legacy. How will he be remembered? Have you got any feedback there, Cassis? How do you think Warwick will be remembered?
By the way, he's also so cheerful all the time.
That'd be a nice way to be remembered, Warwick.
That is a very nice way to be remembered, and I thank you for that, Cassis.
It's probably a difficult question to have asked.
Well, look, if we're looking for something kind of tangible, something physical, I guess probably Bailey Arts, I think, will be a thing that I'll be remembered for, probably partly because it took so long to get it open, as you all know, that the opening came very close to my retirement. But I think if there was something I'd like to think that Bailey House remembers me for, or that I guess an impact I've had, I would like to think that people remember me for encouraging Bailey House to be very inclusive and very respectful in the way that we treat people, whether that's clients or whether that's staff, whether it's families, whoever it is, that we can have differences of views, we can have differences of opinion, but it's really important to be very respectful in the way that you interact with people. So I'd like to think that that's something that Bailey House really, really embraces.
I agree.
Thanks, David.
Nice response, Warwick, you idiot.
Always.
So, thanks, Matt.
You ask the big questions.
And you're up. I think that was an example of being very disrespectful. Sorry. Now, Ange, you've got an interesting picture here. It looks like a person who looks very, very busy, and he's having a hard time of it, isn't he? He needs more arms. So your question for Warwick about his job was... wasn't about the easy stuff, was it?
it hard?
Yeah. What was the hardest part about being the CEO, Warwick? Leading Bailey House?
The hardest part about being the CEO? I think there's a big responsibility, and I think particularly we go back to COVID. How can we not? That was the hardest part of leading Bailey House, was just getting us through COVID. I think, you know, we go back to 2020, 3 years ago, and we were shutting services down, we were in lockdowns, we had curfews. They were really challenging times, and I think none of us had been through an experience like that before. So it's really hard to know that you're making the right decisions when you've not got an example that you can go by. So that would be the hardest thing I think that I ever had to do, shut down services and try to keep people engaged.
Yeah, and safe. So we're talking sleep, some sleepless nights.
There were some sleepless nights. And I think one of the things that I really struggled with was I knew that we needed to lock things down, shut things down in order to keep people safe. But it was really important for us to remember that we were infringing on people's rights in doing so. So that was a balanced thing. It's not a black and white thing. It's not a right or wrong thing. That's a matter of trying to keep the balance right. So we always tried to remember that we were infringing on people's rights in restricting what they were doing, and to make that as little as it could possibly be to keep people safe.
And have you noticed Warwick's worked here for how many years now, Warwick?
How long have I worked altogether?
At Bailey, sorry.
Oh, Bailey, for 5 years.
And have you noticed what Warwick wears to work each day, Ange?
A suit.
Suit. Warwick, I thought one of the hardest parts of your job might be ironing your darn shirts.
It is. I do, and I iron my own shirts. But, I like to keep things simple, Matt. I'm a simple soul. I have two suits, a navy blue one and a grey one. I have a lot of ties, admittedly, and I have 8 shirts all the same. 8 light blue shirts. They're all the same, so I don't think about it. In the morning, the only thing I think about it is what tie I'm wearing. And I like to, and people keep saying, why do you keep wearing a tie? No one wears ties anymore. Well, that's pretty much true. But I like a tie. I feel comfortable in a tie. I've worn a tie since I was 12. And that's the one bit of colour. Plain suit, plain blue shirt, but I can be bold with my ties, so.
And take and see, it means you mean business, Warwick.
That's right. And there, and I've got those blue shirts to iron every week.
What are you going to do with your blue shirts now?
Well, I'll throw some of them out, Matt. Yeah. I'll give them to the op shop. But I'll keep a few. You just never know, do you?
There won't be a burning ritual in the backyard.
I don't think so. I'd probably set fire to the house if I tried to do that.
Dave, I think we're up to you, my friend.
Well, okay, so now, talk about making qualities and practices. What are all the best qualities and practices of a CEO?
What do you think are the good qualities of a good CEO, David?
Oh,
what do you think a good CEO needs?
I'm sure he has got the dignity, and of course, in participation, and well, he gives very active thing to others, farmer, clients and staff as well.
And nice ties.
And nice ties. Thank you, Professor Long. I think a good CEO, I think, has got to be a good listener. For a start, you've got to really hear what people are telling you, whether it's your clients or staff or families. You've got to genuinely hear what they have to say. I think a good CEO needs to be respectful, needs to treat people well, look after them, be conscious of the fact that people have all sorts of needs you don't necessarily know about, that what you see at work isn't necessarily, it's not people's whole lives. So you've got to be really able to do that. But I think also CEO, sometimes it's a bit of a lonely job because the fact is that you do have to make decisions. You know, you can't just listen to people and you can't necessarily keep everybody happy. Sometimes you have to make decisions which you know aren't going to make some people happy, but they're the right decisions. So I think you have to be quite strong in yourself. Make sure that you believe that you're right, making what you think is the right decision, and then you have to get on with it. So you have to be decisive.
I try to remember that.
What's that, sorry, David?
I try to remember that. Thanks, Warwick.
Well, and this is, speaking of such topics, Cassis, we're going to get you to have a look at your next question, thanks. Which is... You got it right there? Sorry. That one. You could even pop that one down on the ground. There you go. There it is. I think this is quite a pertinent question, given what Warwick just what we just talked about.
Now, Warwick, did you help choose the next CEO? Were you involved in it?
Oh no, Curtis, I was not involved in selecting the next CEO. The CEO is appointed by the board. So there's a Bailey House board that has directors on the board, and so the CEO is selected and appointed by the board, and then all of the other staff are selected and appointed by the CEO. So I wasn't involved in the process, but I do know Deb, and when they were getting to the last stage of the selection process, John, who's the chair of the board, did mention to me who they were looking at and asked my opinion, and so I very happily told him that I thought she'd be a fantastic CEO for Bailey House, and I'd be really thrilled if they appointed her.
What do you think, she'll be a good fit, Warwick?
I think she's got great values. She understands the world in which Bailey House works, of intellectual disability. She'll be a lot of fun. She'll be good. I'm sure that you will come and give her a grilling. I'm sure she'll come and meet with you all soon, whenever you invite her. She's warm. She's engaging. She's got a lot of experience. So I think one of the things also about Deb, she knows me and she knows Bailey House. So I think she'll be a CEO who comes in and really will love to actually take what we're already doing here and take it further. She's not going to kind of put a big stop on things and chuck it all up in the air and start again. She thinks that Bailey House is a fantastic place. She thinks that Bailey House is doing really well. And she's really excited to start here as CEO and do more with that. So that's a really great thing.
And had you crossed paths professionally?
Yes, I know Deb quite well professionally.
Hey, just for people's interest, so the role of the board, when there's big decisions to be made about lockdowns, like you said, for example, if we can hark back to that, and, you know, no visitors to residentials and things like that, are the board consulted or do the buck stops with you?
No, the buck stops with the CEO. With COVID, because of such a big thing, we had a meeting with the board, the leadership team had a meeting with the board right at the beginning of COVID, back in March or in February, March 2020, and we presented to the board our COVID management plan, as we called it. So we had developed a plan about how we were going to manage Bailey House in a COVID environment. I mean, like all plans, it changed because COVID kept impacting on all sorts of different ways. But the important thing for the leadership team, for the CEO and the leadership team, was to demonstrate to the board that we had managing this thing under control. We'd thought through the issues and we knew what we were doing. So the board, who has a broader responsibility, then could say, yeah, looks like you've got under control, we'll leave you to it. And that is indeed what the board did, and I'm very thankful for that. I used to keep the board informed regularly, and if there were big dramas, or I think when we got our first COVID-positive client, which was at Lebrano, one of the residential services, I let them know what was going on there. But in terms of the decision-making around what we're to do, locking down, unlocking, running programs at Middle Crescent or not, that's very much sat with CEO and the leadership team.
Excellent. And I think we're back to you. Do you find that confusing, Ange? I think a lot of people wonder what the board does.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. So that's it. Thanks for clarifying that, Warwick. Well, what about, so what about this, Ange? What about, say, there was a big a need for Bailey House to purchase a new house, Warwick, to cater for a lot of people that need residential support? Is that something that would be run past the board?
Yes. Yeah, the board would need to approve a big plan like that. Normally what would happen is that the leadership team would put together a proposal that would include a business plan and a whole lot of why we wanted to do that, why we thought that was a good thing to do, how it would work financially in other ways, and we would then put that to the board for the board to approve.
As you would have done with the site we're currently sitting in.
Yes, that's exactly right. The board had to endorse us leasing Evoca Street and fixing it up in this beautiful way.
And beautiful it is, and we're coming to you once again from our beautiful gallery space. Ange, I got sidetracked. Over to you. Oh, you've got a picture there of people doing all different sorts of activities, Ange. I think we call them...
Hobbies.
Hobbies, yeah. All right, so what's your question for Warwick about hobbies and retirement?
What activities?
Yeah, what hobbies are you going to try?
Try.
Have you got any hobbies, Ange, that you've never done that you'd think, oh, I'd like to do that one day?
Netball.
Yes. There you go. What about yourself, Warwick?
Well, it won't be netball. I can assure you of that. I'm not very good at that sort of activity. No, not at all. I do, one of my main hobbies is photography. I'm a very keen photographer, but it's hard to get the time. So I think when I'm retired and I'll have more time to do that sort of thing, so I'll be keen to do some photography. And look, it's not a hobby, but my 2-year-old granddaughter lives with us, so I'll be spending a lot of time looking after her.
Hmm.
Very busy.
She's still in nappies, Warwick?
She is still in nappies, yes. She is still in nappies. I'm great with a nappy, Matt. Very. Well, I'd have 3 girls of my own, so yes, I've been all down there. I can do a nappy in my sleep.
I tell you who's pretty good at nappies, Warwick, if you ever need to chop out Gav. Gav's really good at pooey nappies in particular.
Oh,
okay. Well, that's good to know.
Are you serious, Matt?
Yeah, maybe not. Warwick, are there anything, excuse me, anything you might pursue that you've always put on the back burner?
Oh, a bit of travel. Would really love to get back to Italy for a lovely trip to Italy. A few places I'd like to go to that I haven't been to before.
Yeah, so
a bit of travel, a bit of photography, a bit of family.
Will you try and keep a routine? You talked about that being important.
I do think it is important, but I think because I have my granddaughter living with us, I think that will establish some routine because she's up early. There's no sleeping in when you've got a 2-year-old in the house. So, yeah, I think there will be some routine. But look, in a way, I think as a CEO, you sort of run right to the end and then you stop. So I think I've got to kind of just let retirement happen a bit and see how it plays out because it'll be a novel thing for me.
You could perhaps... Would volunteering at some point be on the radar?
Yeah, maybe. Look, someone might want me to help them with their art classes. As long as it's stick figures.
Now, Gav, Warwick's just touched on this, but we'll go there anyway. The one with the image of I think you had an image of an aeroplane there somewhere, Gav.
Yeah, hang on. Can I read this first?
No, because that's not the right order, old boy.
Hang on. When are you going on your next trip?
Ah, well, my next trip, that's a good question and an easy answer on that one, because I have a trip booked in middle of November. My wife and I are going to New Zealand, and we're going to a place called Fiordland, which is right down the southwest corner of New Zealand. It's a lot of wilderness and some beautiful fjords, which is where the kind of water goes right up into the land bit. And we're going on a little boat, which goes down that area, 6 nights on a boat. So I think it'll be wonderful. I'm just a little bit anxious that I'm going to get a bit stir crazy, but we'll see how we go.
It's only how long?
6 nights. But it's only a little boat. Like, it's not a cruise ship or something. It's only 24 people on the boat, so it'll be fabulous. So that's We've got that already planned.
And have you got a bucket list of destinations?
I just love Italy, Matt. If you ask my wife, she'd have a bucket list like this long because she's much more adventurous than I am. I keep thinking about, oh, you could go here, I could go there, I could do that, or I could do this. And then I think, but I could just go back to Italy.
Go to France.
Sorry, go?
Okay. Go to France.
Have you been to France, Gavin?
No, you don't yet.
You'd like to. Why would you like to go to France?
It's a shop, duh.
Duh, he calls me. Yeah. And to watch the French AFL?
Yeah.
I don't think they're playing over there, Kev. Warwick, what about any particular events you've never got to? Is there any of those that you'd love to attend?
Not that I can think of. I like to see a concert, or I really love going to big shows.
Oh.
So, you know, Rent's going to be here in February, and I'm going to go and see Rent. Went to see Tim Minchin last night, in fact, and he was fabulous. So, yeah, I like seeing shows. Yeah. Particularly, I love big musicals. I love the circus. You know, not with animals, but people circus. So, yeah, I love getting to shows.
Well, you're going to have some time on your hands.
Indeed. Let's hope that superannuation lasts.
Yeah, true. Now, David Long... Now, this is a bit of a controversial question as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, yes, it is, man.
Well, I think you called it ridiculous, in fact.
Well, maybe, but I don't want to call it a very silly question, Warwick, but if you were stuck on a desert island with one person, who would you choose?
Who would I choose?
Mm.
Well, look, I would choose my wife. So I'm a very lucky person that my wife and I have been together for a very long time. In fact, this is a secret. We won't tell anyone else. Or just us in this room, okay? But on the 18th of October, which is my last day at Bailey House, that is actually exactly 50 years since my wife and I started going out. Not got married, but when we started going out. Not our wedding anniversary, but when we first started going out. That was the 18th of October, 1973.
1973?
That's right. So who would believe?
How long after that did you marry, Warwick?
We got married in 1978.
How did you propose to your beautiful wife?
Well, in fact, we were university students at that stage, and we had gone to the UK for a bit of a holiday in the middle of winter. Well, it was summer in Australia, winter in the United Kingdom, and we'd hired a camper van, and we were driving around the United Kingdom in the snow, in a camper van, and the fog. It was a very interesting experience. And I did the actual thing. I went down on bended knee in the camper van and asked her to marry me. So how about that?
Bit too personal, man.
Sorry, Gav?
Bit too personal.
Bit too personal, Gav. That is, isn't it?
I didn't ask him about his first kiss.
You know what I meant. You know what I'm trying to say, Matt.
Yeah. It's good journalism, though. Tabloid journalism, isn't it, really?
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Sack me?
Probably.
But he's leaving. He can't. Oh, Deb might. Yeah. What if it wasn't a family member, Warwick? What if you're stuck in a desert island for... What if you're stuck there for 12 hours and you could spend some time with anyone you wanted?
Oh, okay. Look, it's fine. I know, perhaps it's because of...
Peter Dutton?
Now, that wouldn't be a good choice, Matt. That would not be a good choice. Perhaps it's because we saw him last night, but I was saying to my wife after we saw Tim Minchin, he would be an amazing person to spend some time with. He's got such an amazing intellect, great kind of cheeky values. I really...
Just like me.
So I reckon he'd be a great person to spend...
Just like me.
Just like you, Gav.
Cheeky.
Yeah, cheeky and great values. That's right. So, look, I'm going to go with Tim Minchin.
Yeah. He's a talented man, that's for sure. And we're over to you, madam. And we're nearly at the end here. And we're grateful for Warwick's time.
What music is in the car?
Yeah, Let me give Warwick a look at that.
What was that one? Oh, what did you listen on the way? Well, on the way here...
So that question again, Warwick, was?
What did music did I listen to on the way here?
Or maybe it wasn't music.
Well, it's a mix of two things, really. It's either 774 Melbourne, or sometimes 621, but Radio National, usually ABC Melbourne on the radio. But music, I was listening earlier to the Mamas and the Papas.
They're a new band, aren't they?
Yeah, I wish they were. I love listening to Jersey Boys. I love listening to Sam Smith. I'm going to see Sam Smith in November with my eldest daughter, Sophie.
I've got a CD of Sam Smith.
Have you? Yeah.
At home.
I love Sam Smith. So, look, I don't only listen to old stuff. Sam Smith is young and new. But, yeah, look, I do like some of that older stuff. Perhaps it's just I'm getting older and it's good memories, but...
And you'll have more time to attend these concerts.
That's true. I will have. We'll have the money to pay for the tickets. I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's always that's a concern. Who haven't you seen that you'd love to see? A band that you...
I'd love to see Tom O'Dell, who's an English singer. Who's been touring Europe and America the last few months. He's never come to Australia, so I don't know that I'll get to see him, but I would love to see Tom O'Dell. I think he's great.
What's Tom O'Dell singing? Is Tom O'Dell, what's Tom's demographic? Yeah, what's Tom, sorry?
Oh, Tom would be late 20s, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, he's young, younger singer. He's composed his own music and sings his own music. Has a backup band when he's performing, but I don't think other than that.
He'll probably get here yet. Gav, you picked me up on something earlier. I stuffed up.
What's the hardest thing packing your desk?
What's the hardest?
Well,
how did you feel?
Desk?
It was really hard, actually. It was really hard packing up my desk. And I've got to say, I did it over a few weeks because I thought I didn't want to be in a situation...
It's a bloody big desk.
It is a bloody big desk. And, you know, part of that, when I look back, part of that is our lives have changed so much since COVID. But before COVID, that desk used to be covered in papers. I used to have little in trays, and I found these in trays stuck away in a cupboard. And I thought, what are they? I thought, oh, yes, that's right. They used to be sick, and they were always overflowing. It was always a struggle to sort of not have them piles of paper everywhere. And you think, now we just don't use paper anymore. We just work to computer, and it's all saved electronically. So, yeah, the desk looks very big and empty now. But I did start the process a few weeks ago because I thought, I don't want to sort of get to the sort of the last day or so, and I suddenly got to clear everything out of the desk. So I sort of moved things out of the desk, and I wanted to make sure that when Deb was starting, it was all hers. But it was a difficult thing. You're quite right.
Difficult emotionally?
Yeah, it's quite difficult emotionally. And it's a strange thing. There was a Friday night a couple of weeks ago where I'd sort of put a lot of stuff in the car, and everyone else had gone from Middle Crescent, and I sort of, you know, tootled off to the car with another armful of things and then drove away, and I thought, oh, this feels a bit weird.
Massive shocking drawer.
I'm a shocking what?
Drawer.
Why are you talking about my drawing?
Simple.
That could be exhibited here at Bailey Arts.
That's better than my stick figures.
My drawing isn't too great. But you understood the question, Gavin. Thank you for it. A couple of questions to go before Warwick's joining us for a bit of a bite to eat. Cass, your last question, thanks.
Now, Warwick, this will be an interesting one. Do you have a nickname? And what is it?
Now, Cassis, do you have a nickname? When you go and visit Mum, does she call you Blossom Chops or anything?
Blossom Chops, no way. She called me my little cutie pie, my little sweetie pie.
There you go, you don't have any. I've got a nickname, Gav. My brother David, guess what he calls me?
Baldy.
He calls me Shiny.
What? Yeah.
Shiny. I don't know why.
Because he's got no hair.
Excuse me, Matt.
Oh, my head shines like a... Yeah, right, now I get it. So, Warwick, what about yourself? You won't be known as Warwick the CEO anymore.
Won't be Warwick the CEO.
What will you be known as around the house?
Look, it depends a bit who it is, I suppose. I probably still mostly will be Warwick. Warwick's not a name that you can easily adapt. But for nicknames, look, the nickname which my wife gave me a long time ago is Noddy or Nod. And I don't really know why, but anyway, so I do get called that by her a little bit. My granddaughter calls me Dadda. Dadda. Or sometimes Granddad, now she's saying. So it's not really a nickname, is it? But that's probably mostly what I'll get called for the next one.
Matt called me Spoon for a reason.
Spoon. Well, actually, that's funny because I know someone whose nickname is Spoon. A family friend. So
why do I call you Spoon, Gav?
He's a stir, Matt.
Very good, actually.
He's a stirrer.
He is a stirrer. So true.
Now, we're at our lucky last question, and we're calling this one Dan's Doozy, Warwick.
Dan's Doozy, okay.
Dan, our colleague Dan, who's part of the babble.
Right.
Not keen to get the microphone under his nose. But very happy to be part of these pre-production meetings. And every week now we're going to have Dan's Doozy, and here it comes.
And
you can interpret this however you like, Warwick.
No, I'm talking about Dan Doozy, Warwick. This will give you a guilt. Very funny question. And this is, what is your party move?
What, sorry? What is my party move? Oh, I don't know what my party move would be. I don't really go to parties very much.
Well, Tess Hens, for example, we trialled this on some other people.
Yeah.
One of Dan's mates said his party move is to arrive and find the guy that looks like the biggest yobbo and see if he can keep up with him all night long in the drinking stakes. Mm. Now, Tess Hens said her party move is to... just talk to somebody one-on-one.
Yeah.
Because she's a quieter person.
I'm not a big party person. So my party move probably would be to look around the room, find someone that I already know and that I sort of get along with, and then I'd probably find them and then start talking to them and then have a drink and probably something to eat and probably stay with them. Mm. I'm not great with sort of... catching up with dozens of people I don't really know. Boring as that may sound.
My party move, worry.
Is it okay to say? Is it suitable?
Yeah.
Sure.
I can dance backwards.
Oh, okay. You're going to show us? I know this is a radio program,
Well, you can show Warwick your move. Hang on, I'm a bit concerned. We've got a few sculptures here.
Yeah, don't go backwards over one of these sculptures. They're worth a fortune. Yeah. And so are you, of course, Gav, but, you know.
I can dance backwards.
Okay, well, that is impressive. I can't do that. I wouldn't even try.
And talk underwater with a mouthful of marbles.
And talk underwater.
Hey, well, we better wrap this up because I can see some people gesturing to us from the door that it's time for lunch. Hey, personally, Warwick, I want to thank you for your strong leadership in the 5 years. I reckon you've been a wonderful advocate for the staff and our participants alike. You've been very personable and approachable. You've got an open door policy. Certainly from a good self, at least. You've always been respectful. You've treated everyone as equals and everybody with dignity and respect. You're always good-humoured. You're a great communicator, particularly was so important around COVID when we're all so nervous. Always been open and honest, and your calm and positive and optimistic leadership has instilled confidence in me, so thank you so much.
You'll be
dearly missed by not just myself but many others, I'm sure.
They're lovely words, and thank you. I really, really appreciate it. I've had a wonderful time at Bailey House. It's been a fabulous 5 years despite COVID, and I just feel so good about the fact that leaving Bailey House, although I will miss you all, you're going to have a wonderful CEO coming in, and that's a great thing. So thank you all.
Gav, until next time. Thanks for joining us.
Ciao.
Cassis, thanks for being part of the interview. This is where you say farewell. Or goodbye.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for being part of it. David Long, until next time.
Oh, yes. Ever be part of you, Warwick.
And co-host Ange, thanks for being a part of it.
That's okay.
And thanks to our loyal listeners, you have been listening to the Bailey Babble. Thanks for dabbling in all our babbling.
Woo-hoo!
That's a wrap.